Psalm 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to Him. For He has shown mercy unto us.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of angels and infants, you have ordained strength. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Glory to the Father and to the Son, was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to Him, for He has shown mercy unto us.
God on high,
and on earth peace and will for men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God of Father, Son of God, Son of God.
be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, having given to us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity, we implore you to keep us steadfast in this faith and evermore defend us from all adversities. For you live and reign, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is from the 6th chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, who beholds the deep, and who dwells between the cherubim. Blessed are you, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven, and great day to be praised forever.
The epistle reading is from the 11th chapter of Romans. O the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Athanasian Creed is found on page 134 and 135 in the front part of the hymnal. This morning we will say the creed by whole verse alternating. Whoever will be saved shall above all else hold the Catholic faith.
Which faith shall everyone keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he will perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person, the Father, another the Son,
but the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such as the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit
the Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three Almighties, but one Almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For as we are compelled by the Christian truth,
so we cannot, by the Catholic faith, say that there are three gods or three lords.
The Father is the Creator.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but unseen.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater
but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped.
He, therefore, that will be saved, is compelled thus to think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, a reasonable soul, and human flesh.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Whom although he is God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell,
he ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all men will rise again with their bodies, and will give an account of their own works.
And they that have done good will go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the
peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our sermon text is from John 3, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nicodemus is one of the rulers of the Pharisees. He has heard enough of Jesus' scriptural teaching to get himself wondering about his own particular theology, especially concerning salvation and, well, the life that he was living.
Now, as a Pharisee, Nicodemus trusted in that his obedience to the law would save him. And yet Jesus spoke of faith, faith in the Christ. The Old Testament foretold that the promised Messiah would in fact do miracles, and yes, Jesus had come doing miracles. Nicodemus is beginning to doubt. He's beginning to doubt himself, and he's not quite sure what he believes. Which way will Nicodemus turn? He doesn't yet know. Therefore, he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. He comes at night. In this way, Nicodemus can keep others from knowing his struggle. He seeks a private conversation. There, Nicodemus can speak openly without having to make his struggle public, nor make a public, announcement decision concerning Jesus and his teaching. So he comes at night. After Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi and declares that he believes that God is with Jesus, Jesus answers Nicodemus. He answers the question which Nicodemus was afraid to ask. Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus is not concerned about Nicodemus' reputation at all. Jesus does not wish to engage in small talk or to exchange pleasantries. With laser-like focus, Jesus gets right down to the heart of the matter. You came here because you're wondering about salvation. The answer is you must be born again. And I tell you that these words strike fear in the heart of Nicodemus. He knew that Jesus would say that, but he didn't want to hear it. He would rather have slowly walked into it, maybe debating about the Sabbath laws, speaking about the purification rites of the elders or something like that. So why do Jesus' words about being born again cause Nicodemus to have such a struggle? It is because they involve a complete and radical break with our own sinful thoughts and ideas, with our own sinful life. I tell you, it is true for us as well. We are quite comfortable talking about the upcoming baseball season or maybe summer vacations. We don't mind talking about religious-y things, like Easter tradition, maybe even some of the facts of the Bible stories. We actually welcome opportunities to speak about the upcoming potluck. And sure, I don't mind getting sweaty at a church work day. Even liturgical practices designed to teach us, they're designed to teach about sin and Jesus, of course. But we can talk about them, and it kind of diverts our attention away from ourselves and our real self. We either don't know what these ceremonies teach, or we fix ourselves on the actions themselves and not the teachings. And, some of us simply fill our lives with this kind of trivia. Yep. We can avoid talking about real things, about ourselves. We know the latest stories. We know every detail of what's happening in Washington, the Middle East, or in Hollywood. We know the latest trends, and we wear the latest factions. We watch the most popular television shows, and we purchase the latest gadgets. And because these things are always changing, it takes a lot of time. It's almost a full-time occupation to keep up. It uses up all of our time and all of our money. And I would say our memory as well. It may be that, that is what we really want to do. We want to avoid dealing with reality. which is our sinfulness before God, and the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. But Jesus cares too much. He cares too much about Nicodemus. Jesus will not back off from that discussion which needs to happen. First, Jesus says, unless one is born again. Nicodemus tries to claim ignorance. Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus claims that he doesn't know how all this thing works. And third, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he came down from heaven, and thus he is a first-hand witness of these things. If Nicodemus won't believe Jesus, then he won't believe at all. Why is Nicodemus so hesitant to receive Jesus' teaching, "You must be born again"? It is because a new birth means that the first birth is useless for salvation. A new birth means you have to start over. There's nothing that can be salvaged from that first birth. If Nicodemus concedes that he must be born again, then he will of necessity have to deny his efforts and the works of which he already had been trusting that they could save him. And this means that Nicodemus will then have to abandon his own Pharisaical point of view. A born-again Nicodemus cannot remain a Pharisee. And that means that Nicodemus will have to leave behind those night meetings, and he's going to have to come out into the light. He's going to have to be seen by men. Don't you see that Nicodemus, if he is born again, his entire life will change? You were born again by water and the Spirit. Whenever you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And with that baptism, there was a radical break. A radical break between your former life in the sinful flesh and the new birth of the Spirit. You acknowledged your sinfulness and trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You believed that believing in Jesus, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that was all true. But along with that, you had to leave behind your sinning. You had to leave behind your sinning for this new life in Christ. A new life. You could not return to the old life. It was drowned in the baptismal waters. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And with this baptism, Jesus is calling on you to return to your baptism each day anew. You are to take that which is corrupt and drown it in your baptism, confess it, and give it to the Lord. And you are to put on the new man created in righteousness and true holiness. Return to the Lord your God. Whatever sins have come to your mind, they are clouded in the cover of darkness. But the Lord says, come into the light, for I will forgive you your sins. It will be uncomfortable for a while because God is holy and he must burn away your sinfulness. Like Isaiah in today's text, you will confess your sins and then you will say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then the hot and comforting words, the burning coals of holy absolution will touch your lips, and you will be forgiven. Returning to your baptism, your sins will be taken away. Like Nicodemus, you will leave behind that old life of sin and you will live anew for Jesus Christ. Before forgiveness, you feared I might lose control of my life. You feared you couldn't let go of your sins. What would life be like without my sins? But now, you've been freed. Freed from your sins, you will not care that those things are gone. The trivial things which meant so much to you, they will not matter. You will not worry about what you will eat or what you wear, because the Lord Himself will provide for you the things that you need. Your life, yes, it's going to be different. Your life will not be the same. You will not remain a Pharisee. You will trust in Christ for salvation. You will not live in your sins. You will live well and speak differently. You will welcome opportunities to confess your sins. You will desire to speak about Jesus, speak about His work in your life. You will desire to come, to be together with other believers, to praise God for His glorious gifts. You will be glad to come and worship the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity. You will realize that these things of the Lord are well beyond you. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Like Nicodemus, you will find Jesus has been answering the question that you were afraid to ask. You know what is sure and true. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have been born again, and He has sent you His Son for your salvation. And so these words ring true. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offertory is page 143. We stand. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, everlasting Father, we give you thanks that you have revealed yourself to us in love by creating us in your image and by directing heaven and earth for our preservation, that you have revealed yourself as love by sending the Son for us and for our salvation, and you have revealed yourself with love by sanctifying us in the waters of holy baptism, that we might be born again. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Separate your church from all who do not acknowledge the Holy Trinity as the one true and living God, that we might share in your eternal glory, be delivered from error and its paths which lead to death. Use our confession of the truth to bring the lost and erring to the new birth of water and the Spirit, so that Jesus is lifted up. We ask that all pastors in Christ, including James, our bishop, our own pastors, Michael and Gary, that they would guard and defend scriptural teaching and practice, that all the congregation may be one, just as the triune God is one. We ask your blessing upon our director, Keeley, our teachers, staff, and the children, including the school-age children this summer, who are enrolled in our center. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We commend to your care our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, as well as the civil servants and police of this community, that they would make, judge, and enforce our laws with integrity and clarity of mind, that they would recognize their responsibility to you, the one from whom all authority stems. Use your established servants in the government to maintain law and order, in addition to punish those who harm life and property. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, also our police officers, including Alex and Daniel, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from harm and danger. We also remember the courts of our land, that all judges would apply our laws with impartiality and would contribute to peace and stability throughout the nation. Uphold those who are suffering under the affliction and hardship caused by the coronavirus with the consolation of your grace, and support them with the help of your might. Be gracious in allowing illness so that physical sickness may be a spiritual medicine for those who are ill, and give to them strength of faith and patience. O truest physician of souls and bodies, restore them to their former health, provided that is advantageous to their eternal salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. Be with our shut in Carolyn, as well as our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, Gibb, Howard and Stan, with Shirley, Vicky, Keely, Patty, also Gemmy. We ask your special blessing upon Tony Prochaska as he begins some treatment for his eyes. And we ask, dear Lord, that you would have mercy, and if it is your will, that you would provide healing and recovery. We ask that you would be with our seminarians as they begin summer terms with Benjamin and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person, and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created. sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.